Rainbow Max, the United with Pride podcast, proudly supported by Pride Radio.
Hello and welcome to Rainbow Max, the official United with Pride podcast, where we talk about all things queer, all things football, and above all things Newcastle United. I'm your host, Holly. I use she, they pronouns. And today we're joined by Nick from the Proud Lily Whites, a Tottenham Hotspur LGBTQ plus fan group.
Hiya, I'm Nick. I'm non-binary, so they, them pronouns.
So your group has recently celebrated a 10-year anniversary. How long have you been a member and what made you join the Proud Lily Whites?
Yeah, I've been with the Proud Lily Whites for just over 2 years. What made me join? I'd been to one football game prior to doing that because I had someone who'd come with me because I didn't feel like it was a safe place to go. And then I'd play football and I was chatting to some people at football about it and they said, oh, why don't you just join the Proud Lily Whites? And I thought, what's that? So I researched it and looked and so I've been with the... I joined Proud Lily Whites probably just over 2 years ago, and why I joined them... Well, so that I could go and watch football because I hadn't really been before. I didn't know that you could go and watch it safely. I didn't know there was a group that you could sort of meet up with and chat with and talk to about experiences. So yeah, it's just sort of changed the way that I interact with Tottenham and the way I can be a football fan.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds really positive. It was kind of the same for me as well. So you said you hadn't been to a match sort of like before that. Have you been to many since? Do you sort of go quite often now? Do you feel like there's a bit more of like a connection with the club through your connection with the Proud Lily Whites?
Oh yeah, definitely. I've been, so for the last few seasons, I've been to quite a few every season. I even sat through Conte games, which I'm sure would warm my head, but not the best all around. But yeah, I get to enjoy it. I think in that season was a hard one, but I get to be sort of a vocal, open fan now. So,
oh, it's nice. That sounds lovely. Yeah. That's basically all that we're advocating for as our groups are, I guess, as well. Just having a community to share fandom with that's, you know, a little bit away from your usual kind of football community. Feels really validating and it feels like a place of belonging. So that's quite nice. You agree, did you say sorry?
Yes, I agree, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I was just going to ask, have you ever been up to St. James's Park?
Yeah, I haven't, unfortunately, been up to St. James's Park. I've heard it's a great atmosphere. I actually haven't been to any away games for the men's team, so it's not just St. James's Park, but I would love to start. Yeah. What my favourite memories of the fixture, I have for this, not to match of the day to it, but one good, one bad. So one that I'll enjoy and one that you'll enjoy is Newcastle fans. So I'll do the Tottenham perspective first and I'll go through why I picked the other one as well. So the Richarlison coming back to score 2 goals after he'd been struggling with his mental health is a massive high for me to watch him score after what he'd been through, to get more of the team scoring, and it was a 4-1 win, so it was great. And then on the other side, it was the 1-1 draw a few seasons ago where Andy Carroll headed the ball onto, I think it was Eric Dier's arm, to get a penalty and score and get an equaliser, which at the time of watching it was so, so frustrating. You could just see it. But the reason why it's a good memory for me anyway is because I don't think it was the only thing, but I think it was one of the cumulative things that changed the handball rule. It made them make it more sense. So although we got the equaliser and it was a draw in the end, actually meant Tottenham was part of something that created a change. So it was still nice to have seen it and be there.
That's a really lovely sort of way to look at that. I can respect that for sure. I think you're right. I think I actually can't remember that fixture very well for some reason. So I should probably go back and watch the highlights if they're on YouTube. But yeah, what a lovely way to look at it from sort of like something that was part of maybe changing, you know, probably Premier League rules or how we play. I like that a lot. Could I add mine in? Mine was definitely the 6-1 from last season. Yeah. I didn't know if you thought that would come up, but yeah, it's happening. I thought it was an amazing game to watch as a Newcastle fan, but it's probably a freak one, so I'm not expecting that scoreline from us tomorrow by any stretch. But yeah, just on that, how do you think that Tottenham are doing this season? What does success look like for them, do you think?
Oh, great question. Do you know, if you'd asked me this question at the beginning of the season, you'd get a much different answer to now. So how do I think Tottenham are doing? I think Tottenham is doing really, really well. I think the style of play is so much easier to watch. I think there's game, we don't always play well in the entirety of every game, in some games we haven't played very well. But I would say injuries, but your Newcastle, you've got way more injuries than most teams. So I don't think we can play that card anymore.
Yeah,
but I think
this season.
Yeah, agreed. For so many teams. Mm-hmm. I think we've played really well. What does success look like for us this season is really, really hard to answer, because I think we're already done really successful. And I think finishing in European places and at the end of the season saying, yes, we showed up in games, we gave it our best, and we've ended up here, mm-hmm. is success. So I think we're already doing it for me.
Yeah, that's, to be honest, I think you should definitely get, you know, at least Europa League from what we're looking at, if not Champions League spot, hopefully. You're my favourite of the London clubs, don't tell me others, but so hopefully we will we'll see a bit of success, and maybe we can get into the Europa League. Newcastle being in the Europa League would definitely be our measure of success over this kind of up and down season, you could say. How do you think that your group has been perceived by the wider sort of fan group, sort of like a male-dominated, cisgender-dominated fan group over the years? Do you know much about that? I know you're fairly recent to the new, to the group. I was wondering if there's like been a positive experience, or if you feel like there's a way to go.
Both, I'd say. I think there's some positives. People sometimes stop and, like, if you're wearing the badge, people might ask you about it. I know there's been people who've worn, like, T-shirts or hoodies to games and been asked about it. But then there's more that won't ask about it, or if the Proud Lilywhites are on the pitch, it's maybe they'll say, oh, why are they getting a spot? So I think it can be positive, mm-hmm. But I think it's not... It's like general society, I suppose. It's not overwhelmingly positive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It could always be better. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I understand that. I think it's good that people are asking questions, you know,
and it's
a really good opportunity to learn, for sure. It's definitely something that happens with us when we have our scarves as well, and things like that, and matches. But yeah, I think you're right. I think there's still a bit of a way to go. To achieving sort of like a parity with other fans, maybe. Well, not parity,
yeah.
Because we know that we are, you know, we're just as passionate about the game as our cisgender male counterparts.
Yeah, it's probably parity in perception, isn't it? I suppose. Yeah. It's nice, isn't it, when people do ask questions and listen to the answer. Yeah.
That's it, yeah. It is lovely. It's a good chance to educate. And I do feel like people sometimes are more curious than they are and prejudiced, which is nice. Yeah. How do you think, this is a bit of a random question, but how do you think that football has the power to unite people within our community? Like, so getting away from kind of like that cisgender narrative that we're so used to hearing. How do you feel like football could unite our own community?
Gosh, so many ways. But I suppose just thinking about like why I joined Proud Lilywhites, it unites us because it creates a space where you know you can be safe and follow the thing that you've passioned, which, as you've said, so often has this sort of cisgender narrative behind it that you think, oh, actually, maybe it's not a space for me and maybe I shouldn't be liking it. But creating these groups and being really vocal about being LGBTQIA and accepting LGBTQIA plus fans means that you can create these communities within communities, so safe communities within the big footballing community that you just get to talk to people that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise. And I also play football for an inclusive football team, so it does that as well. It means that people can get out and play football and follow their passion of doing it that way with people who are like them or similar to them in some way, or at least have, you know, or at least supportive. So it does, I feel like football does so much to create a safe space for the LGBTQIA plus community to just be themselves, but within sport.
Oh, I love that. I was going to ask if you played football as well. What kind of position do you play? What sort of team? What is the name of the team? If you're happy to share, it's okay if you're not.
Yeah, so I play for Stonewall Football Club in the Unity Development Team. We're part of the London Unity League, so we play in the league. I play left back, but the last couple of games I've played left wing. So lots of defending and lots of running around for me.
Yeah, that sounds quite exhausting as a role. I'm just quite happy to watch. I don't partake in the football, but I love watching it. But yeah, though, that's amazing. I love that there's the league that you were talking about as well. That sounds fantastic. Is it Stonewall affiliated with the group Stonewall, or is it just sort of like an sort of borrowing of the name, I guess? So.
Yeah, it's not linked to the charity. It's just called Stonewall Football Club. Yeah. I also play, just if we've got time to slot it in, the Tottenham Hotspur do a five-a-side for us Proud Lily Whites members on a Monday night as well. So also play there with other Proud Lily Whites members, which is really fun.
That's so cool. That's a lovely way to feel connected to the club, I think, as well.
Yeah,
I don't know of anything like that with Newcastle. I know that there's a Newcastle United Foundation that has sort of like different groups of people from kind of a diverse background who can go and play football there. But I'm not sure if we have anything to do with that, United with Pride wise. But one thing's for sure, I'd probably be on the bench if that was the case. I wouldn't be in the starting 11, I don't think, or the starting five if it was five aside. But yeah, so I was also going to ask, what do you think needs to change from the FA and in our Premier League culture that could support and stamp out any sort of discrimination between fans?
Oh, that's a big one, isn't it? So much, yeah. I suppose. Yeah, it's, I mean, a way to make a big change, which I don't think should be that hard, is just to have representation, like out representation somewhere within it. It's impossible to fathom that 20 teams with big squads and massive managerial entourages have no LGBTQIA plus people in them.
Absolutely,
but
yeah.
That they don't feel safe to be open and honest. It means that there's so much to be done. Mm-hmm. And I just think representation within the FA or within the Premier League would do so much. I think, I know there's like rainbow laces and there's different campaigns, but, and there was campaigns that say, you know, if you come out, you're safe, but that's not the same as actually someone doing it. And yeah. So I think there's a lot for them to do to create a culture where, it's not even that it should be safe. It should just not be a problem. It should just be something that just is. And we're nowhere near that.
We're not, unfortunately. I fully agree. I feel like within women's football, it's so much easier, obviously. But I feel like within the Premier League, there's still this sort of like hush-hush, very sort of like closeted sort of very toxic masculine sort of layer of kind of like people, I guess. Well, the fact that we've not seen a Premier League football come out during their time in the Premier League since, and I know it wasn't in the Premier League, but just in fashion now, just shows a lot really about where we're at and the sort of boundaries that we've still got to face. So I think you're right. I think visibility is key, isn't it? It's everything to, if we want to change fan culture and make it more inclusive.
It feeds back to a nasty stereotype that, I don't know, I didn't think was still around, but maybe it still is, that doesn't surprise you that women's footballers or women's sports people are able to come out, but men's sports people aren't. And it's horrible because it makes it feel worse, because it really makes it feel like that negative stigma in society is still there, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it shouldn't be. It never should have been, but we definitely should have done. I thought we were much further along at undoing those things.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I definitely feel like it's easier within women's sport to exist as sort of like your authentic self. But even then, that has its boundaries with regards to sort of like gender non-conforming, I guess, and things like that. But I feel like you're right. I feel like we haven't challenged the culture enough and said, you know, there's more that we can be doing, you know, because there's definitely, you're right, there's 20 teams in the Premier League. There's got to be, you know, a few people who sit outside of the, you know, outside of the sort of cisgender, a heterosexual male kind of culture that is around the Premier League. Yeah, so I think it's up to us as fans as well to change that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you knew that your fans would be supportive, you'd be more likely to do it. So yeah, agreed. Fans have got a lot to do as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not as much as the Premier League for sure. And the FA, but the fans definitely play a role. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all we've got time for. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on the chat with us today, Nick. It's been excellent. And it's been great.
Rainbow Mags, the United with Pride podcast, proudly supported by Pride Radio.